WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked and loaded into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Folks, we've got a hot show in store for you all to kick off your week today. We will recap what took place last night at the Breslin Center as the Michigan State men's basketball team. That's right, folks. They just gave it to Rutgers last night. Just a complete thumping in which Michigan State tied a school record for made three-pointers. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We will also roll in a chat that I had with Tom Minkle, who is the head coach of the Michigan State men's wrestling squad. Minkle coaching his final dual meet at Jennison Fieldhouse. That's right. Of course, Minkle is retiring after 25 years as the head coach of the program. You don't want to miss that chat. We will also talk about the breaking news that occurred yesterday evening as ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that Calvin Johnson told Jim Caldwell and the Lions that 2015 would be his final year on the gridiron. Also, we'll have weekend winners as well as take your calls throughout this entire hour. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, just simply dial 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. Phone lines are open, but hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 1st. All right, folks, the 12th-ranked Michigan State men's basketball team tied a school record with 17 three-pointers in a 96-62 dub over Rutgers last night. Lansing Sexton alum Bryn Forbes scored all 18 of his points in the first half. That's 6 three-pointers, ladies and gents. Another local Sexton alum, Denzel Valentine. He finished with 20 points on the night, topping his average of 18.5. With the Spartans' 28 assists, can you believe that? 28 assists on 33 made buckets. That's just crazy. Valentine had 6 of those assists. Sharing the ball is certainly a mantra of what makes this squad good. The number 18 women's basketball team. That's right, the Michigan State women's basketball team. They got the better of Wisconsin on the road Sunday, rolling to a 77-54 dub. Star player Ariel Powers led the way with a career high. Get this, 30-point performance. The victory is the 4th in a row for the Spartans, who improved to 16-4 on the year and 7-2 in the Big Ten. Currently, they sit in 3rd place in the conference, 1 game out of the top spot. Next up for the Spartans is a home matchup against in-state rival Michigan. That's right, it is Michigan week, folks. Wednesday night at the Breslin Center. And again, we want to give a big salute to Tom Minkle, head wrestling coach of Michigan State, in his 25th year at the helm of the Spartans. He is retiring after his final meet, home dual meet, that resulted in a victory over Northwestern. During his tenure, Minkle produced 38 All-Americans, 13 Big Ten champs, and 2 NCAA champions as well. His roots are right here in Michigan. He was a high school state champion at Williamson High, further his wrestling career at CMU, where his accomplishments landed him CMU's Hall of Fame in 1985. He arrived at MSU back in 1991, and Minkle now ends his career on a high note here in East Lansing with a thrilling victory, which I'll get into details later on in the show, against Northwestern at Jennison Fieldhouse. Tom Brady and Derek Jeter, get this, will return to the University of Michigan this Wednesday for a signing day event that is dubbed, quote, Signing with the Stars. Other featured guests on Wednesday include pro wrestler Ric Flair, former Detroit Tigers manager Jim Leland, NASCAR driver Brad Keselowski, and rapper Migos. Can you believe that? Migos is going to be there. I kid you not, folks. The event will also feature appearances by former Wolverines John Jansen and Denard Robinson. And, folks, yeah, according to an ESPN report by ESPN's own Adam Schefter, Calvin Megatron Johnson has informed the Detroit Lions head coach Jim Caldwell, as well as quarterback Matthew Stafford and linebacker Stephen Tulloch, that the 2015 season was his last in the league. The report states that a person who knows Johnson well said, quote, he's pretty content with his decision. The Lions issued a statement saying that they stand by their statement from January 6th, shedding no new light on the situation. We will have more, of course, on that story as we truck along. The Detroit Pistons will head to the Barclays Center to take on the Brooklyn Nets tonight at 7:30 p.m., where they will look to get back on track after dropping back-to-back games against the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors, the Eastern Conference's top two teams. The Pistons are clinging to the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference standings, where they have a two-game advantage over Charlotte for the last playoff spot. Detroit and Brooklyn have split a pair of meetings this year. Nashville was the center of the hockey world this weekend as they hosted the 2016 NHL All-Star Game during the skills competition on Saturday. A big shout-out goes to Detroit Red Wings rookie Dylan Larkin, setting a record for the fastest skater, breaking a record that was set by Mike Gartner in 1996, the same year that Larkin was born. Larkin also added three assists in the new three-on-three format. However, the story of the weekend surrounded John Scott, who, despite being traded, then demoted to the AHL, was still voted captain of the Pacific team. He led the Pacific division to a 1-0 win in the championship by scoring two goals, staging a fight with Patrick Kane, and being named the All-Star Game MVP. And last but not least, well, last but least, because I didn't watch a bit of it, really, the NFL Pro Bowl. Team Irvin defeated Team Rice 49-27 in the Pro Bowl Sunday in Honolulu. Irvin's first pick in the draft, Russell Wilson, earned MVP honors as he tossed three touchdowns with 164 yards through the air. Well, folks, phone lines are open. Time to start the show. Perspective what this moment means to you. I mean, 25 years of this program, your final home meet. I mean, what are you feeling right now?
Well, you know, when you start out, you know, you never really see the end coming. You don't go, okay, you know, it's always kind of in the distance. And then just recently, it's kind of, you know, becoming a reality. And I'm going, holy cow, this is, you know, this is something special, you know. And I've had an enormously great career here at Michigan State. This athletic department is second to none. I mean, there's no place better to work in the country. And Mark Hollis and the staff here are just the best. And so, you know, it's been a great time here, and I've enjoyed every single minute of it, particularly the last minute.
Tom, as the meet winded down, I mean, can you kind of take me through what you're thinking? I mean, were you sitting there kind of taking in the moment that this would be your last time on the bench here at Jenison?
Well, you know, in the last minute, I was just going, you know, don't get called for stalling, get one, don't get turned. You know, that's all I was thinking about. And I know our kids really, you know, really wanted to win this one. You know, I knew it was really important to them, important to me, and I'm enormously proud of them. And we'll continue to get better, and I think good things are on the horizon.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Monday, February 1st, 2016, folks, can you believe that we are now already in February? I tell you what, folks, my goodness, I can't believe January is already in the books. February 1st, don't forget to pay your rent, pay your bills. That's what I usually spend the first of the month doing after work. First of the month, that list blows my mind. And I wanted to start today's show by giving a huge salute to a man who has been the head of the Michigan State wrestling program for 25 years. Tom Minkle, he walked off the platform at Jennison Fieldhouse with a win as the Spartans defeated Northwestern 19-15 on Sunday afternoon. Minkle walking off the platform at Jennison for the final time in East Lansing. Of course, Minkle is retiring and will be enjoying retirement to the fullest. We had Tom on near the summer of last year, I believe, and Tom talked about his retirement plans, and he plans on doing a lot of relaxing. And also a very cool side note when it comes to Tom's retirement career, he plans on playing a ton of poker. He's a big, big poker fanatic. But, you know, it's so interesting when evaluating what Tom Minkle has meant to the Michigan State wrestling program and just Michigan State athletics overall. A remarkable career, folks. And the atmosphere at Jennison yesterday was certainly appreciative of everything that Tom Minkle has done for this program. And, you know, him being just really a staple representative of Michigan State athletics. It was very cool to watch everyone come up to him and shake his hand and congratulate him on a job well done. And it was so dramatic, though, because I'm not a big wrestling guy. I understand the sport to a degree, but I was a bit confused as to the scoring and when exactly, you know, the match ends for good and the, you know, what the final points meant and whatnot. So I was sitting there a bit confused. This brother was certainly confused as I shot that last meet, which was a big one because Michigan State, actually, they came back after being down by, I believe, like four points, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, Michigan State, they need to win, you know, the final match in order to pull out the dub. And again, for the second consecutive home match, the duel, you know, it wasn't decided until the last bout. The Spartans prevailing this time on Demetrius Renfro's 5-3 decision at heavyweight over Conan Jennings. MSU won the final three matches in six overall against the Wildcats, who are 1-9 and 0-5 in Big Ten Conference, to rally from a 12-3 deficit. So more than four, actually. A 12-3 deficit is what Tom Minkle's squad had to rally from behind from. And just a really cool moment because you could see and you could feel in the atmosphere just how crucial that last bout was. Everyone was on their feet. It got really, really loud. And Minkle just, I mean, he went crazy at the end. I mean, it was just a big, big match. Again, that was capped off by Demetrius Renfro's 5-3 decision at heavyweight over Conan Jennings. But it was a bit odd for me, Isaac, because, again, I don't watch wrestling like that, so I don't understand how it scored. So I'm just sitting there shooting this for Current Sports TV, not realizing how crucial the moment was. I was talking to Zach Beeridge of Channel 10, who was out there as well shooting it, and he was like, yeah, I mean, I kind of equated it to, like, you know, a buzzer beater in basketball. It was that big. So it was an incredible atmosphere, and well, it was fitting for it to be Tom Minkle's final dual home match at Jennison. It was a great way to go out.
Yeah, you might as well be speaking Chinese to me if exactly. You're trying to tell me about wrestling out. I have no idea. In fact, I know more Chinese. I took some in 7th and 8th grade. Wushu, confused, though. When you're talking about wrestling, that means I'm confused. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know, but I fortunately had the pleasure.
What was that word? Rewind. You know how to say confused in Chinese?
Wushu. That means I am. That means I am. I don't know how to say confused.
Okay, you just.
But I know how to say I am. Okay. So I know the basic fundamentals, the foundations of Chinese, pretty much. But anyway, I had the pleasure of meeting Tom Minkle for the first time. I actually saw your TV show in person, and what a nice guy. What a nice parrot he has, too.
Yeah, he's got a macaw. It's a macaw. Yeah.
Macaw. But he's just such a friendly guy. The gambling stories he told were some of the best poker tales you'll hear in your life. And it's great to see the guy walk out with such a, you know, round of applause surrounding him and such a great team effort that was put forth by his wrestler. So couldn't be more appropriate for this guy to walk away into the sunset.
And the resume is quite impressive, Isaac. When you look at Minkle's career, he will retire as the second longest tenured coach in program history. And, you know, if you look at another name that you can bring up in this conversation, Finley Collins. He spent, 32 seasons with the program from 1930 to 1962, and also with the second most wins currently with 171 at MSU. Minkle student athletes have also, shined in the classroom as his teams have earned National Wrestling Coaches Association All-American Team honors, get this, 11 times. He recently completed a four-year appointment on the NCAA Division I Wrestling Committee as well. He led the Spartans to a third-place finish at the 1995 NCAA Championships. He's also even coached at the Olympic level. Just a lot of accolades, and grandly so. I mean, when you spend 25 years with the program at Michigan State, I mean, there's a reason why Tom Minkle lasted 25 years here with the program. And just a very interesting dude, because we had him on, and again, you talked about how he has this huge macaw. And actually, we're going to have Tom Minkle on the TV show because I told him once he retires, we got to have him on again. He's going to be on again. And I told him that he has to bring the macaw to the taping. He agreed, and the macaw will be on his shoulder the entire interview. How cool is that going to be, right? I can't
That's
wait for that.
That's going to be great.
Very cool stuff. And again, his poker stories, though, are so intriguing because he tells this story about how when he first really got into the sport, he went out to Vegas, and he got so good at, like, counting cards that the officials in Vegas started to notice, and they threw him out of casinos in Las Vegas. So he would come back, put on a disguise, disguise himself. It was like a movie. You ever seen 21? You ever seen that movie, 21?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Check, great movie. But he goes in there and puts on a disguise, and he gets recognized. The disguise isn't that great. They kick him out again. But he's just an amazing dude. I think we're going to see him on the World Series of Poker on ESPN one of these days.
Well, hopefully. Actually, a former winner, I think, did go to Michigan State, so
right.
It'd be ever so fitting. But, yeah, I can picture Tom with just the Mr. Potato Head glasses on, the one with the fake nose and the huge bushy mustache.
Yeah.
I could see him going from table to table with that, picking up money on the way every single stop.
And I can imagine that's probably what he wore, too. That's right. He told me the disguise was not that great. So
that's what I heard, too.
Yeah, but congratulations, Tom Minkle. Again, 25 years as the head coach of the Michigan State wrestling program. Again, yesterday was his final home meet here at Jennison Fieldhouse on the campus of Michigan State University. It was very cool to talk with Tom after that meet. I mean, he was smiling from ear to ear. Folks, the phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We've got a lot to get to, and you know what, Isaac? I am excited about this month here on the show because we are doing something very, very cool. Now, folks, if you remember, I believe it was around Thanksgiving time last year, we had this discussion about sports movies because I went and saw the movie Creed, which I'm a huge fan of. I actually saw it, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but I went to the, it's a fantastic movie. It deserves an Oscar. I think Stallone deserves it. He got a Golden Globe for his role in it, but he was unbelievable in Creed as well. And I think he deserves an Oscar for this movie, but let me temper that rant. But I saw Creed, and since it was in theaters, I went back and saw it three more times. So a total of four times. It was that good, and Michael B. Jordan was fantastic in it. But we got into this huge debate here on the show about sports movies. And we started debating about where Rocky should be placed in that conversation. I had made the statement that I think Creed is the greatest sports movie of all time. I may be a bit biased in that. So we had this big debate about it, though. And, our station manager here, Peter Worf, came up with a brilliant idea that we're actually going to be starting this week. Folks, throughout with the Oscars taking place, I believe the date of the Oscars is February 28th of this month. With the Oscars taking place on February 28th, we are going to be doing a pretty cool thing throughout each week leading up to the Oscars. We are going to be having a bracket challenge, if you will, kind of like an NCAA tournament of the top 10 sports movies that today I want you guys to call in and nominate a sports movie. We'll take the top 10 nominations, and we will see those nominations. And week by week, we're going to have two movies battle it out leading up to the championship, which will take place during the week of the Oscars. So, very curious. We're going to take this throughout the entire day. And on tomorrow's show, I will announce what those 10 movies are, and we'll choose numero uno once I seat them. I'm going to do the seating here, Isaac, because okay. Your seating is totally off. You don't even think Rocky deserves to be on the list. So that's
exactly.
a whole nother story. But I'm going to see them. I'm going to have number 1 and number 10 go at it the following week. Number 2 and number 9. So just kind of just dwindle it down as the weeks go on. And at the end of the month, we may have a screening that we may hold here at our WKRTV studios. That information is forthcoming, though. But starting today, though, I want you all, if you think that you have, you know, the ultimate list, the top 10 sports list of movies that you want to nominate here on the show, please call in 517-355-9527. Isaac, you can nominate as well. You and I will both be nominating movies as well. And I'm curious to know, just give me your top 5 right now.
Top 5 off the top of my head?
Off the top right now. Putting you on the spot right now, I know.
This is a little bit unfair since you had this all premeditated, but I'm going to go with, in no particular order, Rudy, Like Mike.
Like Mike is in your
Like
top
Mike
five?
Is definitely top.
Are you crazy? Yeah. Isaac, really? Like with
That's
Little Bow Wow?
That's a good movie.
The Little Bow Wow,
yeah,
Like
Little
Mike.
Bow Wow.
Stop it. Okay,
oh,
go ahead.
The up in here scene Stop in the it. Car? Ow, that is touching. That is tear-jerking.
I'm really trying not to go off right now, but proceed. Okay, so you got Like Mike. Rudy, okay. Rudy, even though Rudy is boring to me, but okay, Rudy, I see. And I may ruffle a lot of feathers with this. I think
what?
Rudy and Hoosiers are two of the boringest sports movies of all time. I know. I get a lot
gosh.
Of flack for this, but I sit back and watch Hoosiers, and I'm like, I'm ready to take a nap. It puts me to sleep. I put that on when I'm ready to go to sleep. But go ahead, okay.
Well, Hoosiers is also in my top 5, but in fairness, that is a good point. SB
Overrated.
Nation posted an article about Hoosiers, how it was a totally weird, non-conventional movie that you shouldn't like. It was funny. It was a bunch of country guys who don't come together
on.
As a team, but they rely on the best player to come back and carry the team.
It's like,
not
come
a great
on.
Message. They're the overdogs in the first place.
It's just a boring movie. I mean, you sit there and it's so predictable. But okay, so you got
to. But it's still a great
still
movie.
On your
Gene
list.
Hackman is fantastic in it.
Yeah.
Then I'm also going to go with Bull Durham. And
okay.
Let's see. The last one's difficult. Give me some ideas. Not Rocky.
I'll reveal my list later on in the show. Later on, because we got some things to get to here. And even our PAs in the back, I want them to also compile a list of their top 10, and we'll announce those on the air as well. Their kindest nominations as well. But again, I want you guys to nominate, you know, a list of sports movies here on the show. We will pick 10, and throughout the month, those 10 will battle it out for the number one sports movie of all time. Call in 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's talk first about Michigan State and Rutgers last night. We're going to get to Calvin Johnson in just a sec. I got a rant on that one as well. But Michigan State and Rutgers, folks, this was just a complete beatdown. 96-62, the final of last night's game. Michigan State sitting at 19-4 overall now, 6-4 in the Big Ten. And get this, folks. Michigan State set they tied a school record, making 17 three-pointers last night. Are you kidding me? This is one game after going 16 of 26 from the three-point arc over Northwestern. This is probably the best shooting team that I've covered. Michigan, you know, with the 5 or 6 years I've been covering Michigan State men's basketball, just so hot. It was so interesting, too, because I wanted to know whether or not the players knew how close to history they were when they were just, you know, drilling it from deep throughout that entire game. And here is what a few of the players had to say. Check it out.
We didn't even know the record, so we were just trying to play and try to win, you know. So, you know, I'm happy we were able to do that. I'm happy to be a part of something like that, and I'm just happy that we got that big win.
Not when I was in the game. When I came out, someone told me, but, yeah, I don't know. Wish we would have broke it. But.
No, we weren't aware. We were just playing. You know, they were really – you know, when we were driving, they were really collapsing. The kickouts were wide open, and especially on the offensive rebounds, kickouts were wide open. So we took advantage.
And I give Denzel Valentine credit. I've been on him about a player-coach team, and he saved me today because I didn't have to do much work in those huddles. He got after some people, and it was good.
You know, I was kind of frustrated, and we were going on a run in the second half, and people were trying to celebrate. And I'm like, no, like, we keep doing this. We keep getting the lead. And they cut it down to 13, and we get a lead. I was tired of it, and I just kind of just went off. And, you know, Didi responded, Gavin responded, Aaron, everybody responded. So it was good to see.
Yeah, no, I don't think I don't think any of us were happy with the defense in the first half. So it was a lot about that. You know, defending is, you know, what we do. So not playing great defense, something needs to be said.
Well, some of those guys that shot threes, can guard anybody, to be honest with you. And I'm not reverting back to that because I had some of that last year. So we're going to focus in big time this week on how to guard some people, stop the dribble drive, but contest threes and the things that I just think we got a little sloppy. I understand some of it, but I don't understand it. The job is to be getting better in each thing each day. And I thought we took some strides, but it was consistency, you know. We consistently didn't have any balance between inside and outside. We've been going inside a lot over those games, and now the last three, four games, we're not throwing it in. It was really good when we made the first couple. Then all of a sudden, we missed six in a row or something, and then we called some timeouts, got the ball inside. We did a better job getting it inside. I scored a little bit more, and then those kickout threes were a little easier to shoot. And then we got to get some consistency between offense and defense because most shooters don't guard many people.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Tom Izzo's famous line. He believes that a lot of shooters out in the game today just don't play defense. And that's certainly what he harped on. And that's just Izzo being Izzo. I mean, Izzo is a man who has, he has a vision of greatness. And if you, again, you're talking about a 96-62 win here. 96-62 win here. And you have Tom Izzo in the press conference still harping on what the Spartans didn't do. Again, 17 three-pointers, again, tying a school record, 11 turnovers for the team, and a lot of those happened, I believe, in the first half. Michigan State, you know, they at one point had a double-digit lead, and then it was cut down to single digits twice. Rutgers just wouldn't go away during the early parts of that game. And we look at this Rutgers team. I mean, this is a squad, folks, that's, you know, entering yesterday, made just 24 of 106 three-point attempts, shooting a dismal 23%. From the three-point line in their last six games. Rutgers, get this stat, they have now lost 23 straight Big Ten regular season conference games. 23? Are you kidding me? And I really got a feel for Eddie Jordan because, again, Eddie is in his third year now. He's taken over a program in which he's just really going through a lot. And two of their forwards were not present for this game. They're done for the rest of the season. So they came in limping, if you will. And, you know, so when you look at the final score, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, Michigan State entered that game as a 28-point favorite coming in. And what's also impressive about Michigan State yesterday, 28 assists on 33 made field goals. Right now, the Michigan State men's basketball team is leading the nation when it comes to buckets off assist. They actually assist on 71% of their possessions game by game. That leads the nation right now. So 28 assists on 33 made field goals. This is a team that is certainly unselfish. This is a team that can go so deep. Denzel Valentine, speaking of, you know, deep, I mean, they can shoot from deep so well. I asked Denzel Valentine and Brim Forbes yesterday if this is the best shooting team they've ever been on, and they said without question, without question. Brim Forbes was 6 of 10. Denzel Valentine, 6 of 11. Again, they were one bucket away from breaking the school record. A fantastic effort overall from this team, but I do understand where Izzo was coming from. And Izzo, I mean, what do you expect from Izzo? I mean, you could go out and play a flawless game statistically. Izzo is still going to find something to harp on to improve on. There's a method to Tom Izzo's madness. This is what makes this man great.
Well, that's what great coaches do, like you said. Mike Krzyzewski, you never see him smile after a 50-point blowout. The best coach in college basketball history. And Tom Izzo goes with the same exact plan, and it's worked for him too. But Michigan State, even though the defense could have been better, it was not, first off, all that bad. The interior defense looked better, which we had been worried about after the games against Iowa and Nebraska, especially with Siobhan Shields just going off and getting into the paint at will without any sort of resistance. But Rutgers, the main problem was actually the perimeter defense. Aaron Harris, who's been this team's lockdown defender, as Tom Izzo said, before this game yesterday, without Tum Tum, he struggled last night. And, you know, Mike Williams had a great night. So did Corey Sanders in the first half, although in the second half, the defense eventually put the clamps down. But overall, while that defense, yeah, you might say shape it up a little bit, overall, a great performance for MSU. And, you know, it was not a good team that they were facing. But even so, Michigan State did all they could. And what stuck out to me was the amount of buckets that MSU got in the second chance game. Not just get it and then go back up, but getting it and kicking it out, making the unselfish play, finding the open man on the perimeter. We saw three or four times Denzel Valentine hit a three off of a second chance point when Kenny Goins, Matt Castell, or Gavin Schilling got the rebound. That was huge for Michigan State. So even when they missed shots, they were still scoring on those possessions. And it's hard to beat a team when they're doing something like that. And Rutgers, like you mentioned, their best two forwards were out. They had no sort of interior resistance.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Stopping point for MSU.
Right, and that's the thing. When you look at this game, the X factor was clearly size, because Rutgers got to a point where they were getting pounded on the board so badly that it just didn't want to see anything happen in the paint anymore. And once they started to clog the lane, just like Denzel Valentine stated, I mean, once Rutgers clogged the lane, that opened up the perimeter game to just blossom in that game. I mean, a few numbers that are glaring here. A 17-5 offensive rebound advantage for Michigan State. Also, overall rebounding, I mean, a 52-26 rebounding advantage for Michigan State. And also, you mentioned the second chance points, Isaac. 33-2.
Yeah.
33-2. I mean, that's mind-blowing.
And rebounding. ESPN even has that 56, which means MSU, if that's the case, would have over doubled Rutgers' total.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, nonetheless, Michigan State now has the entire week, really, to rest up, to play a Michigan team in which I think is so – it's really been the underrated Big Ten team coming in. When you look at the top tier of Big Ten teams out there right now, I mean, Michigan is legitimately competing for a Big Ten championship right now. And, you know, Zach Irvin, Derek Walton Jr., they are just rolling right now. I think it's going to be a fantastic game Saturday out in Ann Arbor. Current Sports will be there. Looking forward to that one. And also want to mention the MSU women's basketball team. Again, Ariel Powers doing what Ariel Powers does. 30 points. That is a career high for Ariel Powers. Again, they beat Wisconsin on the road 77-54. They will take on Michigan at home on Wednesday. Really looking forward to that one as well. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat about Calvin Johnson retiring. I kid you not, folks. We'll chat about that. We'll also be diving into the signing day for U of M, which is certainly star-studded, to say the least. That and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, folks, we are taking your calls up until the end of showtime at 2 p.m. And again, folks, throughout this month, of course, with it being Oscars month, we want you all to call in and nominate a few movies that you think should be on our best movie, sports movie list of all time list, as we will wind down the weeks and these movies will go head-to-head, and one movie will eventually be crowned as the top movie, the top sports movie of all time. Again, we want you all to call in. We're taking nominations today. Again, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Isaac, I believe I'm going to let you run down. We did have a caller. I believe it was Jim from Corona. What does his list look like?
Well, unfortunately, I feel like it was a little bit of a spit in the face to me, because it's Rocky stacked. And by Rocky stacked, I mean all Rocky. Number one for him is the original Rocky. Number two, Rocky Balboa. Number three, Rocky II. Number four, Rocky III.
Oh, Jim, you're
five,
my best friend.
Rocky IV. And number six, even though he hasn't seen it, Creed. He just wants to rub it, I guess, in my face. And he trusts you, in fairness, too. But right. Man, I got so much backlash for that initial comment.
As you
I'm
should.
I'm worried about having a screening. Al, I should wear a bulletproof vest or something.
Yeah, you should, because, Isaac, I don't know how you don't acknowledge how great, you know, Rocky was. When it first came out, especially the original Rocky, like, when I saw Creed, and this is the reason why I love Creed so much, because Creed gave me the same feeling that I had when the credits started to roll when I saw Rocky 1. Rocky 1, that underdog story, I got the same feeling that I got when I saw Rocky 1 after I saw Creed, because Creed was that good. But yeah, thank you, Jim. Jim, I love his nominations. He is dead on and right with that. So again, folks, we want you to call in and nominate 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's talk Calvin Johnson. And I had to kind of do a double take when I was on my laptop. I was working late last night. I was putting together my report from that Michigan State men's basketball game against Rutgers. And I happened to be on Twitter as well, scrolling through. And I saw a ton of people just out of nowhere make a statement about Calvin Johnson deciding to retire. Now, we all know how Twitter is. I mean, we live in an age where you have to make sure, as a journalist, you got to make sure that you confirm these reports. So I'm like, okay. I actually tweeted out, if I could go to my Twitter page right now, I actually tweeted out, I see a lot of people tweeting about Calvin Johnson deciding to retire, but I have to see how valid this is. Let me do some research. And then I tweeted out after seeing on ESPN, because as soon as I did that, I went to ESPN.com and it was their lead story. Then I tweeted out, yes, ESPN is reporting that Calvin Johnson is retiring. Wow. So this story is getting a lot of attention because Calvin Johnson is still a man who many believe is the best receiver in the game of football right now. Calvin Johnson is a man who is in his prime, at the height of his power when it comes to being a receiver in the National Football League. And it's really eerie when you compare this decision to what occurred back in the day to another Detroit Lion, that being Barry Sanders. Isn't it amazing, though, how the Detroit Lions have had arguably the greatest running back to ever play the game, and now arguably the greatest wide receiver to ever play the game, and both are going to leave the game early at the heights of their power? It's so mind-blowing to me, and I really can't blame Calvin Johnson. And again, if this report is true and he decides to, you know, say, hey, I'm out of here when it comes to his tenure in the NFL, I really can't blame Calvin Johnson, because when evaluating his career, he is a man that has certainly taken a beating. He was picked second in the draft overall in 2007 by a Lions team, if you remember, that won just three games the season before. They went 3-13 the year before they grabbed Calvin Johnson. A 7-9 record in Calvin's first season that was followed by the infamous, the notorious, the example of mediocrity and disgust in the world of sports when evaluating the worst teams in sports history. Yeah, you remember that year. That 0-16 season. Calvin went through that the following year. 2-14. The year after that, 6-10. The year after that, okay, they hit double digits here. 10-6. And then 4-12. 7-9. 4-12 again. 7-9. 11-5, that was Jim Caldwell's year in which they took him to the playoffs and they got beaten by the Dallas Cowboys. And then finally 7-9 this year. Just two, count them, two winning seasons in his 9 in the league thus far. Both of which led to his only two playoff appearances, both being wild card losses. And through all of the bad quarterbacks and double coverage schemes he's been subjected to, only twice has he finished a season with less than 1,000 yards. Quite the career that Calvin Johnson has had. He's never played less than 13 games a season, and while he has a mound of NFL records to show for it and a bank full of money, he doesn't have one piece of silverware after it all. No Super Bowls throughout his Detroit Lions tenure. Isaac, I really think this is a culmination of two things here. It's really one, first off, a discussion about him not winning. Calvin Johnson is the best receiver in the game today and has been for a while, arguably, and has not won. He hasn't gotten past a wild card round in the NFL. So that's one thing. The man is tired of losing. And number two, I really think that NFL players today who are at the height of their power, even lower than that. I mean, this discussion is even being held when it comes to youth football today with what we are knowing more and more about the detrimental effects that the game can have on the human brain, specifically in the direct correlation to CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I think that a lot of players in the league are getting scared right now. You know, Will Smith just had his concussion movie. I don't know if you checked that out, but it profiles the man who discovered what CTE is, Dr. Bennett Omalu. A lot of people are seeing that movie and reading about CTE in the press, and a lot of players are getting scared for their long-term health. I think that with the culmination of playing with the terrible Detroit Lions squad and looking at how Calvin Johnson is financially set for life, assuming that he has done the right thing with his money and is not going to end up on Broke 2, the ESPN documentary, I think that Calvin is saying, you know what, I've had a good career. And putting this in context when it comes to the Detroit Lions organization and equating this to what occurred with Barry Sanders, a lot of people don't know about how things ended, and it ended badly when it comes to Barry Sanders. Again, Barry Sanders left football healthy. You know, he gained, 15,269 rushing yards, 2,921 receiving yards, 109 touchdowns, 99 rushing and 10 receiving. He retired within striking distance of Walter Payton's career rushing mark of 16,726 yards. Only Payton and Emmitt Smith have rushed for more yards than Sanders. And his retirement came somewhat unexpectedly as well, and was really a matter of controversy. You know, 2 years earlier, prior to his retirement in July of 1999, Sanders, he had renewed his contract with the Lions, forget this, $35.4 million over 6 years, with an $11 million signing bonus. The Lions, get this, demanded that he return $5.5 million of the bonus. Barry said, uh-uh. That ain't happening. He refused. And guess what the Lions did? They decided to sue arguably its most coveted player in franchise history. And in 2000, an arbitrator ruled that Sanders had to immediately repay $1.83 million, which was a sixth of that $5.5 million bonus, with the remaining bonus to be repaid over each of 3 years. Yet left on the contract provided, he stay retired. And that is how it ended with Barry Sanders not winning and being sued by the organization. How ugly was that? Now, this isn't ending ugly. You know, Calvin is just saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm not winning here. This is what I think he's saying. I'm done. I'm not winning here. I don't want to risk my health more with playing more years in this game. You know what? I'm fine. I'm financially set. Let me just ride off into the sunset. But man. Isn't it crazy though when you think about this? When looking at how the Lions, you know, ended things how Barry Sanders retired early with the Lions back in the day, really eerie, right?
Yeah, that's a bad breakup back in the day. This is a good breakup. It is both sides. It's kind of mutual. Well, actually, the Lions would love to hang on to Calvin Johnson. They're probably a little bit clingy, actually, in terms of the relationship. But
yeah.
Calvin Johnson. You know, he walks away on good terms with the Detroit Lions fan base and everything like that. Hopefully, something like the Barry Sanders situation won't reappear. But Calvin Johnson, I think part of it is the fact that the NFL is just not as safe as it was once perceived to be. And people are aware now of the dangers that present themselves later in life, such as early dementia and Alzheimer's and just a higher risk of death. Years earlier. So I think it's a smart move for Johnson to walk away, really. And the fact that the Lions didn't win, like you mentioned, I think that really diminishes the greatness of Calvin Johnson's career in terms of the all-time best receivers. I've often made the argument, if you put this guy on the San Francisco teams that Jerry Rice played on, or even on some of the teams that Randy Moss played on, this guy would be in the discussion for best receiver of all time.
I think he is right now. I think Calvin still is. I think
you can make that debate, but situational, depending if he had a different quarterback.
It's the same thing that we discussed when describing Barry Sanders. The big knock on him was, okay, he didn't win anything. He didn't have a great – and this is the thing. This is what makes Barry so great. He didn't have a great offensive line. I mean, Barry was doing this with a depleted offensive line that was horrible. And, you know, in the same regard, I mean, Calvin Johnson, you can make the argument he didn't have an elite quarterback throughout his career. I mean, Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback, but he's not elite. So it's really the same conversation when evaluating Calvin Johnson's greatness. I think that when it's said and done, I mean, Calvin will go down as one of the top five greatest receivers of all time. And the Lions, I mean, oh, my goodness. And letting another guy like this walk away from the game. It's just really disheartening for this team. And I'm sure that the Lions fan base is going to be feeling this for a long, long time. A long, long time. And financially, what this does, because there are a lot of people wondering what this will do for the Lions salary cap. Now, Johnson's cap hit in 2016, currently scheduled to be, $24 million if he was to return. Now, this means that Johnson's retirement would instantly free up, actually, $11.1 million in cap space, the same if he was traded or released. Now, if Detroit pursues recovering the $3.2 million appropriated remainder in his signing bonus and are successful in recouping those funds, that increases the cap space actually of up to, $14.3 million if I did my math correctly before the show. So this will free up a lot of cap space, but now questions are going to loom. What should the Lions get in this upcoming NFL draft? Should they shore up that offensive line that has been horrible for quite some time? Should they go out and shore up the defensive line or go out and get a corner or a linebacker? Do you get another receiver now? That's going to be the big question in a lot of people's minds. If it's said that, you know, hey, if he comes out and says, you know what, formally that, hey, I'm done, I'm retiring here, what will the Lions do now? That's the big question.
I think they should get another tight end. No, I'm just kidding with you. But, no, the Lions, under new management, Bob Quinn, of course, making steps in the right direction, if you ask me. And I think that salary cap will be a welcome bonus to the Lions. Because let's face it, this isn't a team that was going to win a Super Bowl in 2 years in the first place. So although you hate seeing Calvin walk away, it does finally give you the signal, hey, let's build this team for the future. Let's build in the right direction. Let's build something sustainable that we can keep going for years to come and make sure that this team does have a shot in maybe 5 or 10 years. Stop worrying about the present if you're the Detroit Lions, because you know what? Mediocrity is the worst place to be if you're in the NFL.
Yeah, and mediocrity is the – if when you look up mediocrity in the definition, there should be a Detroit Lions logo, because that is what they have been – the entire franchise has been for quite some time now. Folks, call in 517-355-9527. I believe we have one of our most coveted callers on the line right now. On line one, we've got our dear friend Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, man? Here's a movie y'all talk about. It's a documentary. Remember Hoop Dreams?
Oh, yeah. Hoop Dreams is definitely on my list.
That's up there.
That's top five for me, okay? I love Hoop Dreams.
Yeah.
Love it.
And yeah, that was one of the best movies. I don't know if y'all heard a Brian song with Gail Sayers and James Caan in it.
I've heard of it, never seen it though. So are you nominating these movies then, Mike? Can we put these down as nominations?
I thought so. Yep, I'm nominating those movies. And the one on the 30 by 30 is the one with the soccer one in Colombia.
Is that a documentary or a movie?
A Tale of Two Escobars, I think it's called.
Yeah, The Two Escobars.
That doesn't count. I think that's – we're going to go – because I think that's a documentary, right?
I was asking Behind the Glass, rather, if those counted. Because if so, I'd have two more, which is The Guru of the Go about –
right, that's a good one.
That's a great one. And The 12th Man about South African rugby.
Yeah, I think that we should separate. I think documentaries are another realm, and we'll keep the movies in another realm as well. So we'll just go movies. We'll just go movies with it. I mean, because if we did documentaries, so many could be on that list.
Well, does Hoop Dreams count then?
Yeah, because that's a good question.
That's a tough line to draw, you know?
It's a good. Hoop Dreams doesn't count then. We have to rule it out. You got to rule it out. That's a documentary. It's a documentary. No, Hoop Dreams doesn't. We'll put in Brian's song, though, Mike.
All right, then. I got to ask you about Draymond Green's performance. You know, he didn't miss a shot last night. It was crazy, man. He had a triple-double without missing a shot. How many triple-doubles you realize that people don't miss shots?
Well, that's only his second of the season. That's the second most in a season of all time, only behind Wilt Chamberlain,
who
has
three.
That's crazy.
I never thought that Draymond Green would be balling out like this. I didn't get a chance to see the game last night, but I did see it. I saw the highlights of Draymond last night, and he's just unbelievable. He's playing on another stratosphere right now, Mike.
Yeah, yes, he is, man. I never thought he would do that anyway, man. But he could guard a stretch four and a stretch five. I never thought he could guard all five positions on the floor, man.
All five. That's what makes him so dynamic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to say coaching has something to do with it, but really he worked and worked until he got to go wherever he's going. You think he's going to the Olympics?
That is a good question. I think he makes the team. I think it's hard not to put Draymond Green on that team. I know Andre Drummond is also in the running to also make that team, but, I mean, when looking at what he's doing right now, it's very hard. I wonder, what's the cap on that roster for the Olympics, though, Isaac? Do you know?
The roster is usually 15.
Like 15? They go that deep when it comes to Olympics? I thought
maybe
it was like 12.
Only 13 or 12 in the Olympics.
I think it's 12. I have to double check on that, but I don't know. I mean, there's other guys you can certainly argue for. It all just depends on, you know, room and how Draymond performs during practices and tryouts and cuts. Because, I mean, 12 or 15, that's still a lot to dwindle down.
That's a short list,
a very short list.
What I was going to ask you, who is Michigan State's basketball team defensive stop?
Their defensive stopper, Lou Ross Tum Tum Naren Jr., my man, who is currently hurt with plantar fasciitis right now.
Do you think the present players could be like that? Do you think they could really be a good defensive player like Harris or McQuaid or I know Deonta Davis got the potential to do that.
Deontay Davis is unbelievable. But it depends on any given night what the contrary team's superstars or eminent stars, what position they play. Because Tum Tum is a guy who can really give any guard on any given night problems when it comes to his defense. He is fantastic. He moves his feet very, very well. When it comes to defense, you know, by the front court, I mean, Deonta Davis is the clear anchor of that. And I think Matt Costello, his defensive presence has been seen consistently throughout this season as well. Right now, though, Tom Izzo isn't healthy with the way this team has been playing defense, and that's something that needs to improve on as they move on. But I don't think this team is a bad defensive squad. I think they're solid. I think they're solid, Mike.
Okay, I was thinking about you were talking about guys hoisting up threes and everything, but is that the way college basketball is now, where the teams are just throwing it underneath the paint and then they kick it back out to the three-point line and they shooting it out?
Mike, this is what the game has evolved to. I mean, the prime example of that at the next level was the Golden State Warriors. Everyone's three happy now. Everyone wants to chuck up. And the three-point line is so important right now that if you don't have shooters on your team, it is absolutely impossible for you to make a deep run in the NCAA tourney, or at the next level, it's impossible for you to make a deep run at possibly an NFL finals appearance. You have to be able to shoot the ball well, and you have to be able to shoot the tray ball if you want to be successful. Simple as that.
I'm thinking about Karl Anthony Towns now. If he would have stayed in college another year, would you believe that Kentucky would still be a better team? Because he's a post player. He's mostly a post-up guy.
Definitely that team would have been better if he would have stayed. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it's a year-by-year basis analysis on that. I mean, he could have certainly used another year in the league, I think, but he was ready to go to the next level. He's having a solid NBA year thus far. But again, it all depends. It's situational, Mike. All of that is situational, I think, when it comes to the personnel that you have on a respective squad. So,
would you like to have Andre Drummond have a jump shot, or would you rather have him underneath the basket?
Underneath the basket. Andre Drummond, he can't shoot free throws, let alone a three-point shot. So
there
we go. Thank you, Mike.
All right, man. Let me say one more about the screen app. I'm quite Kanye West. You heard his latest single yet?
Yes, with Kendrick Lamar, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Isaac put me on that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic track.
All right, love man. It. All right, then.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Again, the phone, the number to call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, let's hit a very brief second break. Very brief. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this edition of Current Sports by bringing you weekend winners. Don't go anywhere. All right, ladies and gents, boys and girls, it's time to put a bow on the show by taking a look at the weekend that was in sports and bringing you what we like to call our weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, it is now time for Weekend Winners, where we bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in the world of sports and beyond. I want to start off with Dylan Larkin. During the skills competition of the NHL All-Star Weekend, Detroit Red Wings rookie Dylan Larkin set a record for fastest skater, breaking the record that was set by Mike Gartner in 1996.
Oh, no, he just slipped to the ice. Did hamper him a little bit, just like Pierre asked him. And he still did it. That's what you call speed. He still slipped, and he still beat Mike Gartner. That is amazing. That is energetic and youth for you.
Larkin also added three assists in the new 3-on-3 format. Also, Ariel Powers throwing up a career-high 30 points yesterday. How impressive was that as the MSU women's basketball team rolled to a 77-54 win? And also, Calvin Johnson. I think he's making the right decision for his health, and no longer will we hear calls like this.
Stafford with time. Looks, throws down. Bill got a man wide open. Calvin at the 30. Nobody between him and the end zone but air.
If he leaves the game, we will all miss calls like that, right? Calvin Johnson retiring after 9 years. Crazy stuff. Isaac.
Yeah, I've only got one, but Angelique Kerber beating Serena Williams in the Australian Open. I was not obviously up for that because that's way too late at night. I think that they've got like a 12-hour difference or something like that. But even so, that's unbelievable. And we all know Serena's at the peak of her game, even as she ages. She's just as good as she ever was. So that's really an incredible accomplishment for Kerber.
Very, very true. Very true. All right. Well, that wraps it up for this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. And be easy, people.